Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Entertainment Network podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy beverages. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Booze Dancing is live on a Whiskey Wednesday, Thursday, with an all-new episode.
Was it Wednesday or Thursday?
We don't know.
It's Thursday, Thursday.
It's Thursday, Thursday. This is What We Watch When We Drink. Grab a seat, spend part of your Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day it is, wherever you are, and hang out with us for a while. We are streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. From the Canadian border to the Baja, from Peoria to Rochester, we have news for you. Rancho Palos Verdes, Pittsburgh, Missoula, we want to hear from you. Boise, Las Cruces, and our friends in the Hawaiian Islands, we want to talk to
Aloha.
You. Route 66, the I-10 behemoth from Jacksonville to Santa Monica, the Blue Ridge Parkway. Let's not forget our friends along the Trans-Canadian Highway. Pitter-patter, let's get at her. We want to talk whiskey. We want to talk TV with you. Hey, boys, how we doing?
That was nice. That was good. That was good. All you needed now was like a Wolfman Jack kind of imitation.
How are we?
Yeah, we're coming to you live from or something like that. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah, how are we, boys? We haven't been together for a while. This is a get together here. Challenging for us on a work night and get together here and chat some whiskey, chat some TV. It's been a while. How are we?
We are hanging in there.
We got some prizes from our friends at Impex, and it's time to talk about what we've been watching on TV.
Just a reminder to everyone out there to watch these gentlemen at the murder table for their reviews of whiskey, beer, canned cocktails. What else do you guys? Coffee, tea, diet sodas. You guys do it all, don't you?
We do. We've even done popcorn.
Boozedancing.com. You can get it all there or all of our socials, wherever you may find us. If you have any comments, drop them in the chat and we'll get right to them. Before we get rolling here, boys, we are in the heat. We are in the heat of playoff season. Have we been watching playoffs like incessantly?
Oh, done. Baseball, we're done.
Okay, we're no longer in the heat. We're in the ice cold of playoff season.
I am absorbed to endless heights with NBA, NHL, plus baseball on the side. It's a lot.
It's hard to keep a full-time job. There's too much to
work. It is tough. It is. I'm missing a lot of work.
This work thing getting in the way.
It really does. And sleep. Sleep is, that's tough when these games are so late at night, too. I can't imagine how you guys did it.
I just sleep.
It was all East Coast, man. It was all East Coast. It was all good.
Yeah. Until your team is gone.
Yeah. Well, the second round, I think, was over before it started. So, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. My Lakers were the same way, but the rest of the playoffs are good. I mean, and hockey's just freaking steamrolling along. I could watch every hockey game available, and I don't know. This thing's going through June. We got another month plus to go. We get to some championships here.
Did you watch, what was it last night, Cavs and Detroit?
I was at a Four Roses event in Pasadena in a bar.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All a bazillion TVs. So yeah, I was watching some of it. I couldn't see completely all what happened at the end there, but it looked crazy.
It was overtime. And yeah. I think the Cavs pulled the win out.
And I saw this on ESPN this morning that the Avs and the Wild game went into overtime. The third period was sort of at overtime. Was sort of synced up to the basketball game, and there was something going on like every minute, and they showed this. Again. It was crazy. So you would, at 10:47 p.m. this happened, and then 10:49 in this game this happened. It was wacky. It was crazy.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about a hockey game. They were both on the same
hockey game. Yeah, the Avs and the Wild.
The Avalanche. Okay, I don't know the hockey team.
Avalanche. So, yeah. And then the Detroit Cleveland game is going on, and it's just back and forth with like big plays.
It was, okay, I gotcha.
Whack.
I gotcha.
And then the Avs won in overtime. So, crazy. All right.
Madness.
All right.
Absolute madness. Well,
and then today is like only one game. It's only one hockey game tonight. It's just the Sabres and the Canadiens, because basically the sports schedule is completely wiped clean because the behemoth that is the NFL makes a big deal today announcing their schedule.
For the schedule.
We have to like shut down the entire country so we can find out when games are going to be, when games are.
I thought it was odd that they didn't sync basketball and hockey together, that they had a lot of the games the same days and travel games in there instead of mixing it up and spreading them out a little more.
I think so. I am.
And doing like every other day, you know, basketball is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and hockey is Tuesday, Thursday.
I think in the beginning rounds, in the first two rounds, it's kind of hard because there's so many games. But the third round is going to be much easier.
Yeah, it'll be easier to sync.
Probably more spread out. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of crazy this time of year.
Well, the Knicks, I mean, the fact that they swept, it kind of worked out because I think Springsteen played Madison Square Garden Monday night, Monday and Tuesday, or just Monday?
I don't know. I don't know when the Knicks played.
Knicks finished up on Sunday, but I'm saying
Sunday. Yeah,
Springsteen was playing Monday night at the Garden, so I guess it kind of works out that they didn't have to I'm sure they tore it down.
Thought I heard that he was going to be somewhere. Was it not MSG? Somewhere else. I don't know what city it was, and he had to reschedule that date because of the NHL and the NBA. I don't know maybe it was Philly.
I don't know.
I think it might have been in Philly that he had to reschedule because there was flyers and.
I'm sure I can't.
Well, not anymore. We got a lot
not
of
anymore. Hey, play whatever wants.
A lot of seats available. Anybody want to come to town and bring it all?
Yeah, I don't think I can't afford a Springsteen ticket, so I'm out.
There you go. All right, let's get back to the matter at hand. What we watch, when we drink, we are together. It's been a while. We're gonna talk. We're gonna catch up on some TV and movie talk. See what we've been. Getting through, and we are going to walk our way through some whiskeys from the fine folks at Impex JVS, the Impex collection. We have some samples from Sam Filmus and company and crew. Thank you to our friends there. So should we start with the whiskey?
We got three. I don't know how many they're released in total.
I think there were six, I believe.
Okay, so we got three.
I think that's.
Let me see if I can find out on the website while we're talking.
This is so edition five of the Impex collection.
You want to rattle off the three that we have, and you can give us the order.
Sure. We have the Filey Bay 6 year old in a Madeira cask. We have the how do you spell it, Mike? Tinic.
Tinic.
11 year old in a bourbon barrel, and then we have a Ardmore. 14-year-old Ardmore in an ex-bourbon barrel. So they're all cast strength. They're all 50% above. And these are a limited release. They do this every year they do this special edition of releases. All single cask, I believe. Right?
Yes, correct. So,
right.
I'm trying to find this stuff online.
It's on the website.
It's in there, but I don't know. It's just it's being a little
fussy. Impex collection.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I can't find it. I mean, I can, but it's just not getting me there.
It's not
let me switch. Let me switch mice. Let me get a new mouse.
And for those wondering, Kyle Schwarber just hit a 2-run homer to put the
Phillies. Well, and for those also wondering, it's 5-3 Montreal and Buffalo in the third period. So we're going to do the Filey Bay 6 year old, first, correct?
Yes. I'm trying
6 year old Madeira cask. It says it's cask 3152, 52.7%.
Oh, is that all we got?
That's all we got. Sorry.
Is that, and you know,
with
got?
The price of gasoline these days, this is a better choice.
It is. Oh. It really is.
Higher octane.
Better might start running the car on that. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, I'm spinning. All right, we're going to pour this one?
Report it.
Let's give it a pour. So it's an ex-bourbon? No, Madeira. 6 year old Madeira cask, right?
Correct.
And for those in the know, it's cask 3152. For anyone that cares. That's a nice little healthy. Ooh, I can smell it already. I can smell it already. I got some on my fingers. It smells good.
At least you're not licking your fingers this time. That's good.
This is true.
Every time.
Every time. You drew the line and I stepped over it.
You couldn't even see the line from where you were standing.
It's the Maginot line. It's a line, when's a line?
I believe you're right, Angelo. I don't believe that their website's not working right or.
Okay, so it's not just me.
I don't think it's you. Oh. Yeah.
It smells delightful.
So.
Oh, well, that's all right.
That's right. Let me see here.
A little clink, and then we drink.
That's it. Clink, clink.
Hey, yes, look at that. Clink, and we drink. I like that.
Clink, clink, and ink.
Cheers.
There we go. Man. Salud, boys. Yeah.
Salud, salud.
Salud. It's been a while. That too.
Ooh, that smells lovely.
It does. It really does. Let's see what we got. Ooh,
Tastes pretty good, too.
Yeah, see, they don't even have anything I'm looking at the email. There's not a whole lot on the email, either.
Didn't even realize I grabbed my Impex glass.
No?
How about that?
I have a filey bake cask.
I got my Pete and Meat
glass. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find this online real quick, see if we can get some more info.
Well, that's good.
Ooh.
Oh, that's delicious.
But it's good.
That's really, really tasty. I like a Madeira. It's not too sweet, but it does have sweetness.
Yeah.
But it's not over the top.
Oh, I found it on the Filey Bay website.
Did you really?
I did. Really? Exclusive release with Impex. Bottle only for the United States. 274 bottles. Let's see. 52.7, 6-year-old. The Madeira. I don't want to give you some info on the flavor stuff, but
that's really delicious. Actually, I like that. That's really nice.
I guess this is probably from Impex. While previous releases of the Impex collection explored the naked character of distillates in second fill wood, edition 5 pivots to examine the interplay between quality spirit and heavy cask influence, specifically through exceptional wine and specialty casks. For this release, Impex selected a 2018 ex Madeira single cask from our warehouse. As those familiar with our distillery know, our late mentor, Dr. Jim Swan, instilled in us a deep appreciation for specialized wood management. Our light, fruity house style was designed to interact thoughtfully with dynamic casks, and this ex Madeira bottling is a fine example of that philosophy in practice. There you go.
It's got that baked fruit, peaches and apples, maybe, it's got some delicious. That is
delightful. And I think a lot of cinnamony spice to it too, though.
Yeah. But not like, it's kind of like in the background.
Yeah.
Like the fruit's up front a little bit. Yeah.
Do you want me to read the tasting notes?
Sure. Why not?
The Madeira cask lends a beautifully rich dessert-like profile to the whiskey. You can expect notes of butterscotch, cotton candy, toffee apples, and apricot jam, all brought together with a measured, balanced finish. But I do get a spice too, that could be just the 52.7%.
Yeah.
But this is really enjoyable.
This is really easy to drink too, actually.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
this is given great. The heat, it's pretty easy to drink. This is very
nice. Yeah. Sipper.
Me likey.
Me likey too.
Me likey. Me likey. Delicious. Delicious.
Boy, I love a whiskey that you wouldn't expect to be a sipper, that would, almost a session whiskey that is, it shouldn't be that easy.
No, it shouldn't. It really shouldn't.
Especially at 52.7.
That's what I mean. And I like like what they said on Filey Bay, that it's on their website, that it sort of has a dessert quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Boy, the sweetness is just, wow, that's crazy.
Nice.
Good way to end a meal. That'd be good for
you. Oh, totally. Yeah,
it's like a apple peach crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cobbler.
It's a cobbler in a glass. The word.
It's cobbler a cobbler in a glass.
Yummy. Yummy. Yummy.
Yummy. Yummy. Yummy. Cheers to that. Wow, that's great.
Delicious.
All right, gang. We have not talked TV and movies and such in a while. Why don't we just talk about what we have watched, you know, or even are watching at the moment. We just go around the room and pick one that we got going on now or have gone through. Mike, what have you seen lately that you got through or are in the middle of?
Well, we're in the process of finishing Outlander. It's allegedly ending.
My wife is in the process too.
Yeah, it drops tonight at midnight, and there's talk of staying up to watch it because it's the last show. But
we'll see
what happens. It's the last episode, but they're still writing a book
until they do a movie.
So I suspect that this won't be the last episode; that there'll be something else behind it.
Cool.
No doubt. We've watched, I guess, seven. I think it's eight this season. So we watched seven episodes, and it's been a little up and down, but it's still fairly entertaining.
How many seasons have they had?
I believe this is six, maybe seven.
What's the guy that plays the main guy?
Sam Heughan. Sam Heughan or something?
Sam Heughan. Yeah. Does he still have his whiskey? He had a whiskey out.
He did, I think. I don't know if he still does.
He had a whiskey out, and they call the Sassanek.
That's
it. And he does that travel show with the other guy from the show.
That was really fun. It was a little bit,
Men in Kilts or whatever it is.
It was fun. I don't know if it's still out. Is it still on?
No, I think they finished it, but
it was kind of fun.
He seems to be, having some fun.
He's Scottish and the other guy isn't, or they're both Scottish? They're both Scottish. Got it.
They're both Scottish.
Got it. Ange, what you got on your...
Well, here's the show. I don't know if we discussed it. Did we discuss The Pit season two? I think we were still mid-pit.
I think we were in the midst of it. It didn't finish. Till like last month.
Right. It ended like March. March, probably. It was 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got through The Pit first two episodes of season one. Okay. And the household said, I don't think we want to watch this anymore. We're not interested.
Why?
Really?
Too hard, too hardcore. Like,
too much stuff going on and a little too much of young people dying, perhaps. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
So what did you think of season two?
I loved it. I think it's arguably the best TV show going at the moment. Easily. And it's thinking back to the days of the medical drama, it's elevated it. There's pluses and minuses. I think the acting is great. The storylines are good. It does get a little bit hard on your sleeve, social issue of the day kind of thing. And that's a lot.
It gets a little preachy at times.
The social issue, of the hour, not of the day.
Of the hour. Of the hour. Exactly. Yes.
Right.
Definitely. There is, there's less, as I recall, trying to think back to St. Elsewhere and ER, there's less in The Pit of the soap opera.
Yeah, between the personal life of people.
Which I don't really want anyway. I'd rather, I think the medical stuff's really interesting. I mean, remember from...
It's there, but they kind of drop a couple breadcrumbs and that's about it.
Right. You're there for the medical drama. Santos
and the surgeon... And then Dr. Robbie and the woman, whoever she is, behind the scenes.
Yep.
He had a thing with the woman, the other one, right? The one that had the miscarriage
in the first season. Yes. Who's not in the show anymore. The medical, I think it's really interesting to watch how an ER works, right?
And, or it doesn't work in some cases.
Or it doesn't work, right? How they dysfunction or function. And especially in the world that we live in where healthcare is such a problematic area and all the things that people have to live through to make decisions about from the medical side or from the patient side. That I find extremely compelling and the writing is just really good. The acting is great. I mean, it's a huge cast. It's a little bit tough to follow everything going along, but I just think it's really good. And it's elevated the medical drama from I'm sure there's other ones even out there. Like what's one that's been on for like 25 years on ABC?
Mike's has seen it all.
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Never. That's one of the ones I talked watched about. And
watching it again. I remember watching the first few seasons, and it's a lot of interpersonal drama, as you know, as the medical stuff was almost secondary. It seemed like
what I thought was interesting. They're discussing the cast changes for the Pitt between season one and season two,
mm-hmm.
and they just matter of fact, like, look, these people are here for like a fellowship or an internship.
Yeah.
They're not here to be in eight seasons. They're here to pick up and move on.
Yeah.
And Grey's Anatomy never did that. Those people were there forever until they wanted to leave. And it was like, people have been moved on by now?
So it was like The Simpsons, where Bart never graduates grade school.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Nobody ages.
Well, they age on Grey's Anatomy.
I meant on The Simpsons, nobody ages.
Oh, The Simpsons, no.
Yeah. Because I believe it's animated, I think.
What?
I know. AI. Spoiler alert. I enjoyed it. I you know, it's one of those shows too. I think if it went on more than four or five seasons, I'd be shocked. I think it'll be done before you know it, like kind of like The Bear. And that's fine. It's done, it's served its purpose and move things up, and it's a different kind of TV, and so I've enjoyed it, Ange. I assume you too.
No, I did. Overall, I did. I mean, there's little parts where it's just like, okay. Like, they kind of like, you know, everything stops and someone's got to get on their soapbox as opposed to just having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, like the guy who can't get the medicine, the guy with the diabetes and all the stuff with that. And then the other one with the mom who leaves the kid in the car and all this stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh,
you know, if you put a camera or 10 cameras into an ER that's around the corner from your house,
it'd be HIPAA violations at the wazoo.
That too. And it would be really, really boring, I bet. Because it's not something going on all the time, right? And this is over, a 12-hour period?
I think it would depend on the location of the ER.
Very
good. And the day of the week.
Right.
Correct.
I would imagine
Friday night or Saturday night. Yeah,
I imagine a friend or Saturday night there's going to be.
Yeah. Right?
4th that's of July, true. There was the more big music festival. Right. So there's always like that's a true. Big event happening.
There's something, and so there's more than likely things happening on.
Right. And outside. Remember, it's a level one trauma unit. It's not a community ER.
That's true too. That's right.
Because I've been in plenty of like community hospital ERs and they're boring as sin.
Yeah.
I've been to one level one trauma center, thankfully not for me, and it's absolute mayhem.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go there unless you've been shot, stabbed, or hit by a bus and good still point. Live.
Good so, point. Yeah. Excellent point.
Or maybe all three if you're a Rasputin-like character. Just see what happens.
We all got it coming, right?
Yeah.
We all got
that's
it coming.
True. Okay. So let's see. I watched the Jerry West documentary. We were talking about basketball.
How was that?
It was very good. It was on Amazon Prime. And what I really liked about it was basically Jerry West in his own words. They had the filmmaker, the documentarian, started doing this, I want to say a year before Jerry West passed away, which was last year?
I think it was last year.
So he's almost the main voice that you hear. And so he's being interviewed throughout. You know, the docs where they have to go back and, you know, archive interviews or have his daughter speak for him or whatever. Those aren't as good, I think, in a lot of ways, unless you're going way back in time about a character. So I really enjoyed it because it's much like his book. You get to hear about his early childhood when and his growing up in West Virginia, poor, a tough dad. His brother goes off to Korea and is killed in Korea, really hurts Jerry West long term. And his rise through, you know, his college basketball days in West Virginia and getting to the pros and becoming the multi-talented basketball player who never could win a championship until very at the end of his days.
Till you brought in Wilt.
Brought in Wilt and finally could beat, but he never beat the Celtics until being a general manager of the Lakers and building of two dynasties throughout the 80s and 90s. So I really liked it because I was a Jerry West is my favorite all-time basketball player, so it was great to see him. Great to hear these stories. There were some things that were missing. I think they didn't talk to some people, which I think they should have enough or at all. And I don't know why. Maybe they were edited. Maybe they didn't want to speak. Who knows? They didn't talk to Oscar Robertson. They didn't talk to Gil Goodrich. They didn't talk. They didn't have any like archival footage of Bill Russell, his greatest enemy on the court. Talking about how he was.
I think a lot of people don't realize how good a basketball player he was.
Top 10 all time. Top 20 all time, for sure.
They don't even know him. So you put something like this out, and then people go, geez, who's this guy? I thought he was just an executive. I didn't realize he was a basketball player.
One of the interesting things that comes out in this is the full admission by a number of people, including the creator of the NBA logo, that it's
Jerry West. I was going to say.
Jerry West, yeah.
Yeah.
And the man who created it said it. And finally, what's the commissioner's name? Silver.
Yeah.
Adam Silver
admits it. For years, it was not, it was like this quiet secret, he is, but he's not the logo. And that there was rumors that the NBA didn't want to have to pay him anything.
Yeah, they come back with 60 years of royalties.
Yeah, exactly. And Jerry West didn't care. So
there's my name, image, likeness, money.
Yeah. But what about his kids? Will his kids care? Will his family care?
I don't think so. I don't think he cared. So it was very good. And let me bookend that with there was another basketball documentary that I don't know. I talked
about the ABA one.
Did I talk about that?
I talked about it briefly. I watched a little bit.
There's a crossover a little bit, at least era wise between the two and in the late 70s and early 70s. So two good hoops documentaries. I highly recommend. There you go.
Okay.
Well, anybody, Mike, got another one?
Watching Friends and Neighbors season 2.
Oh, good. We can all talk about that. All right.
Good. Yeah. I don't know if I'm caught up yet.
The first season was kind of like a series of capers, which were fun. And this season, it's a little less caperish and a little more melodrama, but still fun.
Yeah.
Just a little bit different.
I'm actually really enjoying season 2. I didn't think I would at first because I didn't like the direction it was going. But the last couple episodes, like with Passover and then his dad's funeral and this last episode and everything going on with the wife, it's good because we're in that age range where we're all going through that kind of stuff. It's good. It's really,
it's
really
the two seasons are very different. The caper was the big thing, right? In the second season, you've got this new character who is
James Marsden.
James Marsden.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Great Gatsby.
It's just the worst.
It's funny you say that. So I had this problem the first season and I still have it a little bit. This season is, I don't really love any of the characters. No one's lovable. Maybe Amanda Peet, but maybe that's because I like Amanda Peet, but I don't really love any of the characters.
I think some of the best scenes are with Defense, Lou.
Yes.
And I think, I think she's the only likable character.
You might be right. And she's not, and she's barely in it this season.
But she's great.
She's great. Yeah. Totally. She's the voice of reason.
You don't need likable characters, though. I mean, Succession was built around a cast of very unlikable people.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I have this issue. Luckily, this doesn't happen as much. When John Hamm goes on the voiceovers, talking to himself, it just drives me crazy. He doesn't sound like John Hamm anymore. He sounds like Anthony Bourdain, and he's got this different way of talking, which. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe we all talk to ourselves in our heads differently than we talk out.
I think it's you, not him, frankly.
It probably is me. I've been told it's me, always. It's you. But it is an interesting season. And I thought that Passover season was good. Episode was good.
Yeah, that was good.
And his dad's death, Noonan, his dad, Noonan, was...
So when you do Passover, who gets up to sing?
Who what?
Who gets up to sing when you host Passover?
Oh, you mean there's the prayers, so there's yeah. Well, it's a joint effort, but the four questions, that, which is what they portray in that, is supposed to be done by the youngest person in the room.
Okay.
So usually,
oh, is that why the son sang?
Yes. Yeah. And okay. But you know, it's, if the family's not changing much, it's always going to be the same kid. And
right.
So it would always, like in my house, it would always my
see daughter. That's motivation to procreate, so you can pass that.
That's right. Time. Exactly. This is right. So you don't have to sing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Does everybody get the four glasses of wine? Do you the four glasses of wine?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Nice. If you choose to drink. Yes.
I like that too. Full, right to the top. None of these restaurants.
No. I mean, that'd be a waste of a lot of wine. That would be a waste of a lot of wine because no one's gonna drink that much. But
what kind of cider are you going to?
The good times.
Come on, keep it coming.
He goes to a seder at a bar. That's the difference.
Jewish bar does, right? It's a Jewish bar. Does that exist? Do they have Jewish bars? Can you?
I don't know.
You could, though.
No.
They could. Right? I mean, it'll be all kosher whiskey and wine. Right? And then you can just have,
Well, there wouldn't be whiskey because there's no whiskey during the Seder. So.
Well, I'm just saying, we're going to the bar for 7 days of the year. I mean, you got to be year round, right?
That's right. Yes.
What the hell? What kind of bar are you running?
I think we have an idea. Where's that John Taffer guy?
Let's do it. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, you need a rescue.
I need an emotional rescue. That's what I need. I need an emotional rescue.
An emotional rescue from Mr. Taffer. All right,
but I'm enjoying the show. The moral of the story is, I am enjoying Your Friends and Neighbors. I'm looking forward to the next episode.
And how many more? Where it goes. Was there eight?
Probably about halfway.
Yeah, I think we're going to guess we're four in, I guess. Probably.
No, I think it's like six.
Yeah, I think we're like six in.
Oh, we're six in?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think we're six in.
Yeah. What you got, Ange? Get something different?
Let's see. Hold on. Let me see what else we got here. We got the pit. I just watched Legends on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I do want to start that.
It dropped on Saturday. I just watched it over three nights. Two episodes a night. It's six episodes. It's really good. Did you watch The Gold?
I did.
It's the same. It's the creator of The Gold.
Okay. Is that the one about the heist?
Yeah. The kind of
in
England
in the 70s or something?
Yeah. That apparently built all those homes along the Thames or whatever.
Right.
All that stuff. Yeah. So it's the same guy. It's really good. I can't think of the lead actor guy.
He was Steve on that. Coogan?
Well, Steve Coogan's in it. And Tom there's a couple Burke other and folks.
And Haley Squires are the cast.
Yeah, I mean, you know them if you saw them. You'd recognize them for sure.
Oh, definitely. I'm looking at him right now.
That Tom Burke is the guy on that. What was that HBO show where he was a detective?
Mank? No.
No,
he was,
no.
Oh, yes.
I know you watched it. I think you watched it.
You keep talking.
It's not that big of a deal. But it's really good. And it takes place around the end of the Thatcher administration in England, and heroin is running rampant, and heroin deaths are happening all over the place. So she kind of does the, she takes that hard line on drugs, like I guess Reagan was doing around the same time in the United States. But unfortunately, the Brits didn't have the money to throw around like we do. So there's no DEA, there's no FBI, there's none of that. So the customs agents who are supposed to keep this stuff from coming into the country are kind of, what do you want to call it? Kind of, they run a detail to try to infiltrate the Turkish mob. And I think there was a mob in Liverpool that was bringing the drugs into England.
Mm-hmm.
So they run a little undercover operation with like basically four people. And it was good. It was really, really well done. It was tight. There was no wasted time. The acting was great. It was a really good show. I think you'd like it.
Like those six episode shows.
It's good and it's well done and they don't go over the top. It's not like they're like an hour and 15 minute episodes. They're all under an hour. They're very efficient. It's good storytelling.
Nice. I want to watch
really
it.
Well done. Definitely. It's really, really well done.
And you know what always amazes me with all those shows? That if you watch The Godfather and they talk about bringing drugs in.
Yeah.
They basically give you the precursor about how this is going to be the end of the mob.
Yeah.
Right. And then you flash into the early 80s and that's the end of the mob because
yeah, yeah.
They basically brought a poison into towns and people are a little upset about that. So now people got to pay.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not just that though. It wasn't the whole thing was the sentences, right? For drug dealing. And that's when everybody started to flip.
Oh, they started ratting on each other and everything else. But if they kept doing all the other things they were doing, they wouldn't have seen any of that stuff.
Yeah,
if they just stayed away from drugs, this wouldn't have happened.
Right. But you know,
the mobs would still be as mobby as they ever were.
The money, man. It's all about the money. Yeah. That money's too hard to say no to.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to watch it.
It was good. Mike, I think you'd enjoy it too. It was really, really good. It's really well done. What's the one guy's name? Tom Burke or Tom Birch?
Tom Burke.
Tom Burke. He's really good. He's really, really good. He gets very intense. He plays the guy who's kind of, you know, really, really getting in there as like the mole or, you know, the inside guy. And the legends thing means that they're creating this other identity. And that's their legend.
Got it.
You know? So.
I see.
Yes.
I see.
That's what they called it in the show.
I watched Young Sherlock on Amazon Prime.
How was that?
I really enjoyed it. It was fun because it's Guy Ritchie. And it's a Guy Ritchie creation. And, you know, it's Guy Ritchie, right? So it's kind of wacky. Story's kind of crazy. And there's one overriding long story arc that goes through the 8 episodes, I think.
Did he do the Robert Downey movies also, Guy Ritchie?
I don't know that. Oh, I did not know that.
Mike, IMDb? I don't know. You don't know?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know.
He knows everything.
Oh, my God.
So this is... This is Sherlock Holmes. He's 19 years old, and he's in going to Oxford, except he can't really get in, so he's just working in Oxford. But he's, you know, Sherlock Holmes, so he's got this ability
Is he a mathematical genius, and he's a janitor?
Yes.
And then he meets Robin Williams, and Robin Williams basically...
It's pretty much it, except his Robin Williams is a guy, is James Moriarty, his guy, Donald... Well, his actor's name is Donald Finn, he's in other. We've seen that guy various places too.
It's good Sherlock Hunting.
It's good Sherlock Hunting. The guy who is the star, his name is Hero Beauregard Faulkner Fiennes Tiffin, and I believe he's. That's right.
That's the actor's name.
Hero Beauregard Faulkner Fiennes, like Ralph Fiennes, Tiffin. And I believe he's actually related to Ralph Fiennes.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like one of those dogs from like the Westminster Kettle Club.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Colin Firth is in it. He's great.
I like Colin Firth.
He's fun. He's really fun. I mean, of course, it's Ritchie, so it's the whole thing is very fun. You know, it's a little madcap and. You know, and you wonder because it's sort of based on the Arthur Conan Doyle character. So it's got to have some connection to the books. And at the end, and during this season, Sherlock Holmes and James Moriarty are buddies. They're solving this crime that happens. And but we know from the books, they become, you know, enemies. So you wonder where this is going to go. And I think I saw that it actually got picked up for another season. So I liked it. It was really fun. We enjoyed it. So Sherlock Holmes on Amazon Prime. So shall we have another whiskey?
Yeah, I was just going to say. Number two?
Yep.
Number two.
Yes. Number two. We are popping this. Open up another one. This is, again, remind everybody, this is boozedancing.com. What we watch, when we drink. We are talking whiskey. We're talking TV that we have been watching over the last couple months. Our second whiskey is the Teaneck 2013 11-year-old ex-bourbon barrel from Teaneck. The Impex collection.
By the way, yes. Did you notice they changed the sample bottles and they look very familiar?
They look like mine.
Small versions of the ones you send out.
Yeah, that's a pretty common... style.
I like them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I like these.
Medical grade sample bottles, right?
Medical grade samples, right. You can put, well, I don't want to say what you can put in there. Let me get
depends how long this podcast lasts.
That's right. I'm gonna look and see if I can find any for information on it. While we're sniffing away here.
Smells delicious.
It do. Again, also, you know, what's this one? 56?
Yep.
Not singeing the old nose hairs.
Not too vapory, no.
No, not at all. I mean, it might be different when I taste it.
I found something on a retail website.
Oh, okay.
Not a whole lot of information, actually. It's mostly tasting notes, which we don't want to do yet.
Not yet.
Let's see. I'll do a little sniffing here while we talk about it.
A little light and fruity. Shockingly. At least on the nose.
It's kind of light.
I'm getting a little more biscuit on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're talking bourbon barrel, not a Madeira cask. So,
right.
Very different.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Here's a little bit of information. No, actually, very little information.
Also, good.
243 bottles. I know that.
Okay. It's tasty. It's different though for a bourbon barrel, a little bit. It's we don't know if it's like second fill, third fill, whatever.
No. Ooh, I like that. Ooh,
it's also kind of light though. Like it's really, really hiding that 56% really well. You know,
it doesn't taste as hot to me as the 52.7.
Right.
Yeah.
Am I correct? Too.
Weird. I don't get it. I don't understand.
And I thought there'd be a little more of a finish. Not much of a finish.
Yeah, it is a little short.
Shorter. Yeah, it is shorter. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Very pleasant, though.
It tastes good.
Trying to find some more info for you guys here. I think I might have found something.
I think I like the Madeira cask a little better, but this is still good.
You probably in a different world, we would have had that one last because it was so sweet. I'm more of a dessert. Okay, where is this one? I see it on a little list here.
Mike, what do we think while he's looking?
Was this 14-year-old? This is a different.
I like it.
This is a different edition.
Yeah, it is nice. Good. Oh, it's good. I like it.
I think I agree with you. I think the Madeira has a little more to it.
I mean, there's a little sweetness on this too, though. It's not really peppery.
But this, yeah, it's
maybe a little.
It's hot, but not that hot.
Sweet tobacco.
It's got all the things you want. Checks all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Okay, here we go. A little bit of information. Tart green apple with fresh cut herbs, French toast. Served with fresh fruit at the first brunch of a long awaited vacation. White pepper tickles your taste buds, merging the vibrancy and freshness with the mellow sweetness of pear drops, honeycomb, and creamy malted barley. The finish is focused on the excitement of the escape from day-to-day life and the adventures ahead, awakened by the citrus enhanced with soft spices.
What'd you read? Scotch Malt Whiskey Society tasting notes?
I don't know what this is. This weird website that has a review of each one.
And this is a Highland whiskey?
It's not.
I have no idea.
Right? I think it is a Highland whiskey.
Like a heavy malt characteristic for all of them. As I lump them all into the same thing, I think they all have a little more of a doughy, biscuity kind of.
You know what? I'm liking character. It more. I'm liking it more as we go.
I do too, actually.
That's very nice. I like that.
This is more of a press release. I don't think we got this from Sam. Sam Filmus and Chris Udy of Impex Beverages today announced the release of the latest edition of their independent bottling line, the Impex Collection. Edition 5 features 11 gems that collectively showcase the influence of wine casks. 8 Scotch whiskeys, 2 world single malts, and 1 extremely special 18-year-old Jamaican rum. This edition will be available nationwide at fine spirits retailers. Sam said, with edition 4 of the Impex Collection, we let the unique signature of each distillery shine through in their simplest form, primarily bottling second fill cask. Edition 5 is the compilation of some incredible wine cask, allowing connoisseurs to experience what magic can occur when the distillate is influenced by these special and unique notes to deliver complex yet balanced flavor profiles. There you go. That's what Sam said. And I trust him.
Say what you want.
You know,
it's just good.
It's very good. And it's actually gotten sweeter to me. And sweeter to me and less, even less hot.
Yeah.
It was not really hot.
I think the hot goes away with each sip, right?
Boy, really did. This is just really, this is
like at the end.
This wouldn't be easy to drink a lot of.
It almost gets to like, you ever have like the pear gummy? Like the pear gummy, like the pear gummy bears, you know, or one of those kind of things. Like it almost had like a pear or something like that. What'd you say? Pear drops? Is that what you said at one point?
Did I say that? Did I say pear drops?
I don't know. But I'm getting that. I'm getting like a light.
Oh, that, it's.
I can see that apples or pears. Something light.
That's nice. That's very good.
An apple, fresh cut herbs. Oh yeah, the sweetness of pear drops. You're right.
Yep. Yeah, a little bit. I kind of see that now. Maybe maybe it's because you said it. I don't know, but.
Well,
remember, remember those? What were those called? What were the Jelly Bellies? They had a pear. That was one of my favorite ones. No, but the Jelly Belly pear, like that, which is really good.
Yes.
It's very good.
Okay, back to our TV viewing. Have we seen anything else we want to yammer about?
Sure. Mike, you go ahead.
I'm just watching the long-term shows I always watch.
Go ahead.
NCIS, another great show, another great season. Wrote off one of the big characters.
Who had a great exit for him. Who is that?
The guy who played the director was on for, I think, 18 seasons.
Would we know him?
NCIS? NCIS.
Leon Carroll. Was it Mark Harmon?
Rocky Carroll, sorry. Leon Vance is the character. No, Mark Harmon left the show two seasons ago.
Oh, okay.
And now this guy's gone. And just a really well-written show to write him off. And they've had a couple of shows afterwards talking about the impact in him leaving. So it isn't like when, you know, the season ended and then just don't renew a contract and we never talk about the guy ever again.
Mm.
Nope, he was never here. Don't know who that was.
Yeah.
But they did a great job.
Now, I am not an NCIS person or any of the CISs or all those shows.
Yeah, I've never watched
But they're pretty amazing how, I mean, they've got a demographic they're hitting, right?
Yeah, it's nursing homes and me. So
I didn't want to say it that loudly, but it's amazing that they last for so long.
Yeah.
How long has NCIS been on?
This is their 23rd season.
Oh my God. This season 23. That's incredible. Remember,
they just got to their 500th episode.
Holy moly.
Which was like an unheard of kind of number. And they're at 500.
It's comfort TV.
It's Comfort TV. It's the list of at least on Wikipedia, the list of their actors starring is pretty amazing. Mark Harmon, Sasha Alexander, Michael Weatherly, David McCallum, Joe Spano, Lauren Hawley, Wilmer Valderrama, Maria Bello, Gary Cole. I mean, it's like a who's who of television.
Yeah. They get a lot of people who are kind of like, yeah, I can do a season, sure. And then they wind up staying for five. Yeah, so like kind of like doing this. Nice.
Easy money. Well, not easy, but
it's nice.
You know what I mean? Huh. Wow, that's great.
You know what it is? It's money.
It is. Yeah.
And now that they don't do, you know, 26 episodes or 30 episodes, you're doing like 20, maybe 22. It gives them enough time in the off season to do something else. You know, do a play, do a movie, do whatever they want to do so they can keep that end of their acting tuned. And still come back to do the show for, you know, $100,000 an episode or whatever it is. And
pretty much nice. 20 is the minimum. 24 is 25, 23.
But
pretty amazing.
Just another good season. Really enjoy the show.
Very good. Very good. Ange, got one?
Here we go. Here's one. I don't think we talked about it. DTF St. Louis.
We did not talk about DTF St. Louis. Go ahead. Talk about it.
I really, really enjoyed it. David Harbour, if he doesn't at least get an Emmy nomination, it's a crime.
He was pretty great.
He was just absolutely fantastic. And it was another show like Your Friends and Neighbors, where you've got that, I don't know, what do you want to call it, midlife crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that going on with these characters.
Yep.
It's men of a certain age. Mm-hmm. You know, I could feel for these characters.
Sure.
Not quite like what David Harbour went through, but, you know, the essence of it, you know, just the you know, whether you're feeling stuck or whether you're feeling like things aren't kind of going the way you planned, and how you deal with it, and how you get out of a rut, and all that kind of stuff.
That's what this is for.
That's right. This is for.
That's right. The whiskey.
It realigns.
That's a shovel. That's
it. Realigns.
That's just digging the hole a little deeper or a little faster. But it was really good. I thought it was great. What's his name was great too. Jason Bateman and Linda Cardellini. And what I liked about the show, and a lot of shows do it. I mean, the timeline gets a little tough to follow because everybody's doing the flashbacks and the flash forwards and all this crazy stuff. But it's nice how they just kind of mess with your expectations. You think it's going one way. It's going another.
You
know, I don't want to spoil it, but it was just really, really well done. I like the tone. I like just the way it was shot. What's his name was great too. Richard Jenkins was fantastic.
Yep.
And the woman who played his partner in crime, the female cop.
Joy Sunday.
Yeah. It was just, I thought it was a really, really well done show. It was just very interesting.
For those who did not see, I don't think it got a lot of attention. Cause it was like what? Six, seven episodes.
I think it was like 8 episodes or something like that, but they didn't do a whole lot. They didn't do a lot of press, did they?
No, they didn't. little synopsis here. A love triangle between three adults experiencing middle-aged malaise, which leads to one of them ending up dead. Two detectives investigate and learn the crime is connected to a dating app called DTF St. Louis, which enables married couples to have affairs. The series presented in a non-linear narrative, with episodes often revisiting previous scenes to reveal their place in the overall chronology of events, which I think is a pretty good
synopsis.
Synopsis, yeah.
That pretty much says it all.
You know, I thought that Richard Jenkins, well, we love Richard Jenkins. We've talked about him before, right?
Oh, he's great.
And he is great. I thought I could watch a show. You know, I'm guessing this is done, right? I would watch a Richard Jenkins Joy Sunday cop show. I thought
They can go back to that. Definitely.
Totally. They do it. Find another
crime. Wind up on NCIS. You never know.
There you go. That's right. I thought they were really fun together because he's older. He's probably in his 70s, I would guess. And she's, you know, 30 something or so, who's more hip and cool and
provocative,
right? And I thought they made an interesting couple as a cop couple. Yeah, a team, yeah. Good. Yeah, I
still think the high water mark for his career was when he spanked Will Ferrell and Step Brothers. That's really.
Everything he was else, so good at Step Brothers.
Everything else, just under that.
I still liked him in that movie we did with the guy from what's it called from Catoctin Creek with Dean. The one, what was it? The one with Patricia Arquette and Richard Jenkins and Alan Alda and all those guys. What the hell was that show? Oh, Flirting with Disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Where he gets high on acid or he drops acid and he's losing his mind.
Yeah,
he was great.
I totally forgot about that.
Going back to the show, I think part of it maybe it's like, you know, because it was about an app about people running around. Like, I think from the ads, it made it look like it was going to be like swinging and all this kind of stuff. And it totally wasn't.
No.
It totally wasn't. Not even close.
It's actually an interesting detective story, right?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting cop story. Yeah. So, I just wasn't crazy about the first episode or two. And then I got into it. I had to see it way through. Did I love it? I don't know if I loved it, but it was entertaining.
Yeah.
I loved Richard Jenkins. I love Linda Cardellini. You know, she's great in pretty much everything. So.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that one too. Anything else about it?
What?
Anything else about it you want to mention?
I liked it. Like I just said, David Harbour, if he doesn't get an Emmy nomination, I'm going to be very disappointed. Because not that I care about the awards, but he was
good.
Sometimes you got to get recognized.
I think he deserved it. He was really, really good. He was playing, you know, he was, you know, I don't know what the word is. Not against type. That's not the right word. He was reaching. I mean, that was kind of a bit of a daring role.
I think. I think we see him so much being with what's the show on Netflix?
Stranger Things.
It's hard to kind of not see him as that. But
right.
It was a really good, nice little turn for him, I think. you know.
Yeah.
Post Stranger Things. Yeah. I kind of thought Mike would bring up something like this. I finished the latest season of Daredevil Born Again. I was on the Daredevil stuff back when it was on Netflix.
What's the lead actor's name? Charlie something?
Charlie Cox.
Charlie Cox, right. And, he was in Warwick Empire.
Yeah. And then it moved to Disney. And right. It came back for, what, one season, maybe two seasons? And then it got this new season called Daredevil Born Again.
Born Again, yeah.
With Vincent D'Onofrio and Deborah Ann Wolfe. And
what's D'Onofrio plays? Play Kingpin or
Kingpin? Yeah,
Kingpin. Yeah, he's great. And you know, it's hard. You know, he plays a very large person, and you know, he's not that big of a guy. I don't think he's that big of a guy in real life, but it makes him look so big.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it. I don't watch a lot of superhero stuff, but I do like Charlie Cox. I like, you know, the morality of the show and what he's trying to do and clean up the area, but not kill a bunch of people and stop the bad guy. And it also incorporates towards the end other characters from that little mini universe.
Right.
John Bernthal is going to be back as
Punisher.
There's a Punisher. Yeah. There's a movie out right now, which is like the follow through to this season. As well as who are the other two, Mike? What's her name? The girl,
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones. Kristen Ritter is back, and Mike Coulter as well
as Luke Cage. Yeah,
as Nick.
By the way, Luke Cage. D'Onofrio apparently 6'4". Not a small.
Really, I've seen some interviews with him. It's funny. I've seen some interviews with him in this whole PR thing. With Charlie Cox, and they're sitting next to each other, and he doesn't seem that big to me. He just seems like the show he looks massive, right?
And he got up to like three bills.
Whoa, hey now.
So, because he's got a huge frame, but he got up to like three bills, and then he was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore." And he's like, "We're gonna pad the suit instead. Let's figure out how that works."
He's 66.
He's 66. I didn't realize that either. Yeah, he's been around. He's had a long career.
He has, yeah.
Full Metal Jacket, man. He was the guy who went nuts, right?
Yep.
Private Pile.
Yep. Whatever his name was. Charlie Cox. I think, you know, and he's British, cool. Right? Doing this thing and playing the American superhero. So
he's British. It's what they do, man. It's what they do.
They do. They do.
They come here and they steal our jobs.
They really do.
They say you won the American Revolution, but you know what? We're better actors than you.
That is right.
Keep them out. Right.
So that was my other one. Any more on this round, boys? Anything else?
Trying to see what else we got here. Here we go. Something I'm currently watching.
Yeah.
Euphoria season 3.
Well, I've never watched Euphoria, so you have to fill me in on
Euphoria that. Is a lot. It is a lot. It is borderline. No, it's not borderline. It's over the top. It's definitely over the top.
Which is it?
It's over the top for sure, but it's interesting. Season one was good. Season two, not so. I mean, it was okay till the end. It got a little. It got to be actually way, 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 way too much for me, and I didn't enjoy it. But season three is interesting. I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. I mean, to be honest, if you like Zendaya, she's fantastic in the show, and her storyline is. Kind of, I mean, she's the center of the show. I almost wish they focused.
She's in all three seasons.
Yeah, I almost wish they just kept it on her, and just kind of had everybody else as like an incidental character,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to all because the other characters aren't as interesting. So, but her current storyline is—I can't go into a whole lot of detail because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But it's been hit or miss. But the Zendaya storyline's been really good.
And it's Sydney Sweeney's the other big star in it, right?
Yeah, she's my God, she's insane in this season. It's absolutely nuts with her because she's like, yeah, she marries this guy who is her best friend's boyfriend, and he his dad, the guy who was the guy that died, He was on. He was on. What's the medical show you like, Mike?
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy. The one that died. Dane. Eric Dane.
Eric Dane. Yeah.
Yeah. So so she's married to the guy who plays Eric Dane's son in the show. Eric Dane's character in that show was insane, also, because he's like a closeted dad who was, you know, grew up in this, you know, 70s, 80s, whatever it was, couldn't really be himself. So, you know, he's married, he's got a couple kids, but he's got his little side flings going on, and there's all kinds of crazy shit going on with that one. So, but yeah, the Sydney Sweeney part. So she's married to this guy. He's like trying to be a builder. He's taking over dad's business. But he's absolutely horrible at it, and he's in debt up to his eyeballs. And Sydney's a little demanding and basically wants the world. So she is kind of now the breadwinner via, like, sort of, I guess, OnlyFans.
OnlyFans?
Yeah. It gets a little outrageous. I will say, it gets a little outrageous. So your mileage may vary. I'm not going to say it's not entertaining, but it's a little over the top at times. So
interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Not one to watch with the kids, put it that way.
Oh, of course not. Is anyone watching Hacks?
No, I haven't started it yet.
I gotta get back to it.
You know. I tried to watch the first episode. I couldn't get into it, but I'm also, you know, it's, you know how it is.
Yeah.
It's too distracted.
I didn't realize it had come out. I didn't realize there was all these episodes already available. I think I've watched 3 or 4. You know, I've been up and down on that show because it feels like it gets pretty redundant. You know, they Gene Smart and Hannah Einbinder, they're together, they're mad at each other, they break apart, they get back together again.
It's like Silicon Valley, right? Like all these shows.
It is.
It's just you're on the hamster wheel, you know, you got that same
excellent metaphor. It really is. And you know they're gonna end up, because this is the final season, I believe. They're going to end up as friends and probably together or something.
Entourage, same thing, right?
Yes, totally.
Vince is like top of the world, then something happens. Then he's bottom of the world, and by the end of the season, he's back top of the world.
He's talking to his friends. He's not talking to his friends. And you know,
right. That's okay. That's life, though.
Yeah.
Your life is like that, isn't it?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that's why we haven't done a podcast in the last 3 weeks. Last three months. Right. We haven't talked to each other.
That's right.
You know, I was dead to Mike, and then, you know, you were dead to me, and everybody's dead to each other, and this is a big love fest.
That's right. We're back together. And you know what's going to happen? We'll be not talking after this. So.
Yeah, exactly. See, they made that face. You see that face he made? Did you see that face?
It's my face. It's just the way I look.
It's a shame. I know.
I was born with it.
You got a face only a mother could love.
Hey. So.
Oh, not your mother, but a mother.
Hey now. What we watch, when we drink, we are together again. We'll see how long that lasts. Probably just for another half hour or so.
At least one more whiskey.
We're like the Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor of podcasts.
We are. Yes. Except we're good drinkers, not bad drinkers.
I'm more like Eddie Fisher. the guy on the periphery who still winds up getting divorced a lot.
Correct. Yes. We have another whiskey from our friends at Impex from this new collection, the fifth edition of the Impex collection. This is the Ardmore 2011. I'm actually looking it up here to get some info on it. And bourbon barrel, 14 years old.
Wait, did you say Ardbeg or Ardmore?
Ardmore. Oh, okay. And it is a bourbon barrel, ex-bourbon barrel, and 59.2%.
Is that all?
That's all. I'm trying to. This one might be a little harder to find. I don't see this one on.
A bit different too, because it's an Ardmore.
Yeah, I don't know about this one. I'm getting some information on this one.
Oh, this is
Ardmore. A little briquette.
A little bit. Huh.
Wonder why.
Curse you.
Oh, stop it!
Showing up.
Stop it! Just admit you like it. You like it.
So the other day, Jimmy pulled a bottle out and poured me one, and it was the bottle we got from Dave.
Oh, that the Laphroaig, is that what it was?
Laphroaig.
Yeah,
and
with the juicy bits.
And Jimmy's looking. I said, "Look, hold it up to the, it's oh, there's bits.
Ooh.
Yeah,
there's bits."
And then I was cursing you and telling him that this was all your fault.
This is a good one.
I'm like a smack dealer. I can tell. You know? I give you that first hit for free, and then you just can't get it.
Mix. And then you're just trying to score some Pete somewhere.
Exactly. You know what you're doing right now? You're chasing the Smoky Dragon.
I think so.
I can tell you that there's 163 bottles.
Hmm. Now, that's rare.
That's kind of rare.
It's one of a kind.
I wonder why so few bottles. That's interesting.
I don't know.
They have another one that's a quarter cask. It's only 161 bottles.
Wow.
This is the next bourbon barrel. Should be more. I wonder why they give as much.
That's delightful. It's like light.
Oh my God, it's delicious.
It's like light Carolina barbecue or something. No.
Well, let's taste it. I'll give you these wacky notes that I found. Mm.
I'm getting like a cut grass and peat.
Hmm. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. That is a wonderful.
That is really nice.
It's a wonderful combination of sweetness and mm-hmm. smoke together.
Yeah.
You know, it's not crazy smoke first, and it's not crazy sweetness first. There's this interesting combination of the two together. Oh my gosh. That is just great.
It's almost Kalila-like.
Almost. Yeah. I thought the same thing. A young Kalila-like, yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Different source for the peat, though, right?
So, let me read these notes to you because it has a little bit of information, I think. So I guess Ardmore is a Highland, that's right. I believe a touch of sea salt softened by honeyed vanilla and warm wood calls to you on a Highland sea breeze and meets you with the memory of a wood-fired oven where shortbread and a touch of vanilla sweetness dances across your tongue alongside gentle peat smoke. The memory finishes with you surrounded by those you love at an evening bonfire, sweet, smoky, and warming.
You know what I say to that? Mm. Yes. Just say yes.
I think Kalila is a clam bake. I think this is more of a, you know, make it a good brisket. It's the delicious sauce you're going to put on top of it.
That's good. That's really, really nice. I think we got three winners here.
I didn't read this to you guys earlier. Whatever this thing is, I found at some sort of, I think it's a PR release through some weird website. So this says it's the MSRP on it's $150. The Tianic, if people are listening at home and curious about this stuff, is $125. Mm-hmm. And the Filey Bay, if I can find it on here, Filey Bay. I don't see that one yet. Filey Bay. Huh, it's not listed here on this website. So they're, you know, 150 and below. I wonder why that's not here. Filey Bay. Yeah, I don't see that one. But this one might be my favorite.
Yeah, I think I'd probably take this, then the Filey Bay, then the Tina Nick. Not that there is a loser in the group, but, you know, somebody's got to finish third.
But, you know, I said earlier on the last round that, you know, that second, that the Filey Bay might have been good to be last because of the sweetness of it. But this thing is, you know, so it's a good peat pounce.
And yeah, I think we drank them in the right order.
I think we did too. Now thinking about it, now that we've had all three, most definitely.
Yeah. Mm. Chris, you, Angelo, and your peat.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Wait, it just grows on you. The second is better than the first. The third is better than the second. That's really good.
And, you know, the 59.2 doesn't even show up. It doesn't taste like 59 to me.
So you try to stand and you realize you drank a whole bottle. And
I know.
You can no longer see out of one eye.
crazy.
It is delightful. It's really good. I don't know. And I can't really pick a winner of the three. They're all very different.
They are different, and I would tend, because I like Pete.
I mean, that's your thing, right? It's your wheelhouse.
Come on, man. It's like telling us you can't pick a favorite child. Sure you can.
None.
Sure you can. Exactly. None of them. Get out of my house. I think I go with the Ardmore. That's really just delicious.
That's very, very good.
Really good. Boy, it's Yeah, it's boy.
And the price point you said was 150.
It said 150 was
which is the $10 plus $10 for every year that works.
That's
out
right.
To be the same thing.
14 years. Yeah. You probably get it cheaper somewhere.
Yeah, that's 14 years. That's what you'd expect.
Around that did anyone have any other shows they're looking to watch that they are maybe just starting?
I did watch a movie. I did watch.
What did you watch?
I watched Harvey Scream.
What's that?
Marty Scream. The one with what's his name?
The table tennis thing.
Timothy Chalamet Ding Dong.
Yeah, exactly. That guy. No, he's dead to me now. I was liking him after the movie, but then watching him, center court at the Sixers game with the Knicks. I'm like, really? I hate you, smug little bastard.
So
he's
funny.
Dead to me. Him, so Ben Stiller. Funny. John Stewart, they're all dead to me. Spike Lee with his stupid glasses, they could all.
Project Hail Mary.
That was very. Oh, I saw that too.
You saw what? I'm sorry. What was that?
Project Hail Mary
with Ryan Gosling.
Which was Ryan Gosling. Oh, right. Yes. An outer space movie, which was very good. He's just surprising as an actor. You just wouldn't expect him to be able to play Ken and to play this character.
What do you mean?
He's really good.
He went to the Disney training school.
I didn't say he shouldn't be able to do that. I'm just surprised. And that Mickey Mouse Club,
man.
That Mickey Mouse Club group is it's him, Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears.
They know what
it's
doing.
Like boom, boom, boom. The only group better than that's probably the cast of Freaks and Geeks with your Linda Cardellini.
Wow, that's
probably the only one better.
That was All-Stars in there.
That might be the one, actually. Project Hail Mary, and we just saw Devil Wears Prada 2.
Oh, how was that?
I liked it because I'm a sucker for all this stuff. And the ladies thought that it didn't have enough of the story. No, just reuniting the cast.
No, you're a fashionista.
It's fun to see him again.
He's a fashionista.
We like reunions.
They're comfortable characters you're familiar with.
Mike likes his Jimmy Choo's.
He does like Choo's. You know me, I'm a total fashion plate.
He is a fashionista.
Absolutely.
He totally
I'm more
is.
Like a paper plate. Yes. But you're like, story.
My goodness, my Louis Vuitton. Or my goodness.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Well, we saw that. I thought it was good. You know.
It's supposed to be fun. You know.
Anything else?
Let's see. I started watching Widow. Well, not starting. I'm through it. Going episode to episode. Widow's Bay on... Apple.
What do you think of it? What do you think?
I like it. The first episode I wasn't sure about. By episode 4,
I gotta go back.
I really enjoy it. It is a, I guess it's a comedy horror thing. I would guess you call it, starring Matthew Rhys and it's got Stephen Root in it. And it's pretty much hard
Stephen
to
Root, Matthew Rhys. It's hard to go wrong.
Even Reese, right?
Yeah.
The woman that wrote it, she was a writer on Parks and Rec, Katie Dippold. And so she's got some background. And so it's a dark comedy. It's about a little island, in the Northeast. And Matthew Reese is the mayor, and he's trying to take this island up another level to get more tourists and bring in more money. Right. And his goal in the beginning is to get a New York Times writer to write something about this little island in the travel section, and then, promote it, and boom, we're, going to get all these people. Except that the island has a mystery, and Stephen Root knows it, and no one else does in the beginning. And it's kind of dark. And that's where this thing is going. And oddball characters everywhere. The local zany people, fish out of water, because Matthew Rhys isn't from the island. He's import, and a Welsh import. So
he's
it's
not
fun.
American.
That's right.
Another guy taking a good American job.
That's right. And but he plays an American.
Have you heard him speak without his accent, Mike?
Never.
I mean, but I'm sorry, never. Like his normal voice. Have you ever heard his normal voice?
No, never.
Oh, he's got a crazy Welsh accent.
He's been on,
I've never heard him.
listen to our boys, Jason and Joshua. He's been a guest on Single Cast Nations podcast a couple times because he's a Pandaren. He's a Pandaren guest, ambassador.
Pandaren. Oh, okay. I don't know why I'm thinking like
the Welsh whiskey.
Yeah, I know what it is. No, but I'm thinking like
the Pentaveret. Did you think the Pentaveret?
The Pentaveret.
the Queen. The Gettys. Colonel Sanders with his wee beady eyes.
Teddy Pendergrass? What? I don't know.
Eddie P. No, Billy Boy.
It's funny. He's funny. Does he do any acting as in his regular
as
voice?
A Welshman?
As a Welshman?
You know what?
He probably did when he was younger.
He had a series. Didn't he have a wine tasting show?
A wine tasting show?
He had like a wine tasting show.
Like, I mean, like a reality show?
Yeah. Him I think Jamie Dornan.
Oh, that's even wackier.
I think.
That's bizarre.
What it's called. It might be called The Wine Show.
Let's call it The Wine Show.
I think it's called
The Wine Show. Where's Dawn Davies? Doesn't Dawn Davies have a wine show? It? Or no, she's the whiskey show and the rum show and the cognac show. Or
maybe it's not. Maybe it's the wrong one.
Yeah, no, this is something else. Take The Wine Show. It's probably copyrighted by somebody.
Yeah, it is. Probably. It's something else.
Yeah.
Matthew Rhys. Let me see. Hold on a second. Matthew.
We like Matthew Rhys.
Oh, we do. He's awesome.
I'm going to say that right here.
He won me over in The Americans, and he won me over with Perry.
And he's welcome on the show anytime.
Perry Mason. And we've asked. We've said, hey, come on. We'll talk Pandaren with you. We'll talk Welsh. We'll talk about those crazy
words that
you can't pronounce.
Welsh.
We'll talk about Welsh. We won't talk Welsh. No. There are some good shows. I think we've talked about this before. Welsh TV is pretty good. They've got some great crime dramas.
I can't understand anything you say.
Wait, even better.
It's got to be subtitled.
Aaron, even better than Jamie Dornan. Matthew Good.
Oh, Matthew Good. Yeah. Oh, my.
Yes. Yeah. So
what's this thing? What is this?
It's called The Wine Show.
The Wine Show.
Another guy can talk gibberish.
Yeah, here we go. Actor and where is it?
What is this?
Actor and novice wine lovers Matthew Good and Matthew Rhys travel to vineyards across Italy and chat to experts.
When was this on?
2016.
I never heard of this.
I don't know where you can see it. I'm sure it's awesome. I'm sure it's just awesome. Yeah, Matthew Rhys and Matthew Good.
Oh, so you never seen it?
I may have seen bits and pieces because I'm sure there's clips on YouTube. Dominic West does a little thing. James Purefoy. Who's he? I can't think of his name. I know who he is, but I can't think of who he is.
More guys that you can't understand anything they say.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my God, so the picture I see of Rhys, he's got this full beard. Wouldn't even recognize him.
They got 19 episodes.
Looks like an axe murderer.
19 episodes. 19 episodes.
Travel to Tuscany. Travel to. Wow.
Yeah. So we got one last thing to talk about, Aaron. One last thing to talk about.
What are we talking about?
Gary.
Gary, Indiana.
So I don't know. I think I need to watch it again because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. And I'm just Mike know what we're talking about?
No idea.
We're talking about.
So season 5
the Music
of
Man,
the Bear is
I think.
Coming out.
Music Man? No. Is that what you carry Indiana? No.
Season 5 of The Bear comes out.
No. You, my friend, you are trouble. You start with T and you end with E.
It rhymes with P and it's called Pool.
That's right. anyway, yeah. So it is. Is it like the pre first episode?
It's obviously it's confusing because of where it ends and how it ends. But the episode is obviously when John Barenthal's character, Mikey, who we know has committed suicide or has died in, to start the Bears initial season. So it's obviously before that. He and Ibn Ross Bacharach, Richie, go on a road trip from Chicago to Gary, Indiana. It's an entire episode of just the two of them and their drive there to do something for Uncle. And we don't know exactly what he's doing. I don't remember his name. I don't remember his name. And
This is right while Richie's wife, Gillian Jacobs, is about to have their baby. And they have to go off to Gary, Indiana to do this thing, this nefarious thing. And you get to see this relationship between...
Well, we don't know if it's nefarious, right? Or do we know by the
way? We don't know. You're right. We don't know. We assume it is. Right. And they, you know, they have to kill the time. They have to kill time because whatever they have to do, it gets delayed. And they play basketball with some kids on a, you know, in a street yard, a public playground. They end up in a bar and
Uncle Jimmy.
You know, Uncle Jimmy. Uncle
Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt. Yeah. And they hang out together, and you see Barenthal, who's just, you know, he's one of these guys. You can just watch him do anything. And you see him pre the bear and his relationship with Richie. And I think it's an hour.
Episode? Yeah, it's about an hour.
And all the while, Richie has to get, he's kind of nervous about getting back because he tells Tiffany he's back by 5:15, back to Chicago. And you get to see the relationship. And we don't probably want to give away too much, but apparently it is a precursor to the very first episode of the fifth and final season of The Bear, which is in a couple of weeks. Right. So it's a little movie. And I really, even if it makes zero sense, I just like watching these two people together and these two actors and watching Barenthal do the Barenthal thing. Just intense.
Yeah. Everything he does is nefarious though. So
it's true. Right. This is true.
Right. If it started to go nefarious, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And there's another person in this episode that I think we all love. Maren Ireland,
From Sneaky Pete.
Sneaky Pete, and what was that show, Ange? On I think it was on Apple, the detective show. These guys who were
the one from last year.
Yes, I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I forget what it was called too.
She's an FBI agent.
Yes,
I believe. Yeah,
she's good.
She's great, and she is just a local who is in the bar that these guys stop in at to kill time. And her and Mikey, John Barenthal, you see them interacting, and it's great. I wish she was on The Bear. She's so good. I need to rewatch it too. I'd just say 59 minutes while I'm looking at
it. So yeah, it was. It had like, you know, like the scene in Goodfellas when they're in the bar and, you know, what's so funny? What do you think is so funny, that whole thing?
Yeah, at the end.
It's like that. It gets that uncomfortable. Like somebody's going to get hurt here.
Did somebody shoot Spider?
Someone's going to put, you feel like somebody's going to put a gun. That tension is definitely in the air.
Well, and I think it's a look into who Mikey was.
Right.
And we know Mikey had a lot of issues. And
he's got some issues.
Right. And this is that scene of that and end of that is really a, you know, you're really getting to see the whatever psychosis he's dealing with, how he can kind of change on a dime. And
now I think they said this was like, this takes place like 5 or 6 months after the Fishes episode.
Oh, is that right?
Because she was pregnant during Fishes, right?
That's right. You're correct. That's right.
Yeah. So I think I heard something like that.
But the very end is a bit odd, you know, because it really kind of jumps to the present and leads, supposedly going to lead into the new season. And but you get this backstory about Richie and Mikey. So I probably will watch it again as I've watched every episode of The Bear twice at least. And probably a good idea to rewatch this one before the new season starts. But yeah, it's here. The Bear is here. The last season of The Bear.
That's what they said last time.
No, this is it. I think this is it. You know, this is it. By the way,
Depends on the check. All depends on the check.
Not completely unbear related. What's the fact? The chef.
What's his name? Maddie Matheson.
So Maddie, this is my last thing. So Maddie has a show, called on Netflix, and it's called give me a second. His TV show is called, what is his TV show called? Just a Dash, I believe. I think that's what it's called. Just a Dash. And I didn't see the first two seasons of it. I guess it was on quite a while ago. And I think it started on YouTube, I think. And it's not been on for a while. He's been busy doing, you know, he's opened restaurants and he's, you know, Mr. Chef and he's on The Bear and he's doing some acting. And they bring it back. And he's cooking, you know, every episode's a wacky, I guess the first two seasons he's cooking in his house. You know, he's married, he's got kids, and his house becomes a disaster because they're like using his kitchen. So the season starts, and they're very, very short episodes. The season starts, and this crew comes to his house, and they're going to film in his kitchen, and his wife doesn't know this. And his wife says, no, you cannot film. This crew cannot be in my kitchen. I'm not allowing this. You didn't tell me this. And whether this is all set up or not, who knows? So the very first episode, this crew has to film him basically from the windows into the kitchen. And it's, you know, he's making a mess. He's got to get it all cleaned up before his wife gets home. And because she's not supposed to know he's, you know, cooking. And every episode is just this wacky thing. One episode, she does an entire meal cooking in an RV as they're, you know, traveling around town. He does a cooking thing for, like, you know, bring your kid to work today, or, you know, bring in somebody, a professional into an elementary school, and, hey, I'm an astronaut. Hey, I'm a doctor. And he's going to be the chef, and he makes these kids. He makes them chop liver. Good idea for kids.
Chop liver? What the hell? Is he actually just chop liver?
No, he's making liver. He's cooking liver. It's exactly, and these kids are like they're giving him all this crap. It's like a middle school. It's really funny. It's the production is over the top, and it's really not about cooking. It's about, you know, the interaction between him and his crew. Oh, and the other fact. What's the other fact's name in the Bear?
I forget. I know what you mean.
That actor is part of the crew, and he drives the band. He's part of it too. The producer has been with Maddie for, like, she's an actual professional.
She's Canadian,
food.
Right?
She sets up food for, like, you know, commercials and things. That's her real job. But she produces this thing. So she's the person handling the food stuff. And they have a funny relationship. It's a fun reality show. Okay. It's wacky.
Sounds like madness. Hey, one aside for
you. You'll learn a thing.
Speaking of this thing where you just said, like, you know, you don't know if it's a setup or if it's for real, if it's just for the show. Did you ever watch on YouTube? Did you ever see those Drumeo videos?
Oh yeah, love Drumeo.
Well, they'll have a drummer on there, and
they, like, they've never heard this song before.
Yeah,
which is hard to believe.
Come on, seriously?
Yes,
seriously. You're in the biz. I've never heard Alice in Chains before. Really, never, ever. Okay, just wondering, because I had this debate with the younger, my little heavy metal boy. He's like, there's no way. People have heard these songs.
I don't know. Drumeo is pretty legit. I don't think it's. I don't think they make this up. Oh, you think it's a? You think they're just totally making it up?
I don't know. Completely? I mean, it's not like they're taking. So. It's not like they're taking man off the street. They're taking, like, you know, Stuart Copeland comes drummer. In. You know, yes. I never heard Pearl Jam before. Really, you never heard Pearl Jam before. Really,
I never heard The Police before.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what?
Who are those very first, the very first one I watched, which is ironic, was this German drummer, a woman, who had never heard this Rush song. And she knew of Neil Peart, but had never heard the song. And
that's understandable,
she's a drummer,
because Rush sucks. It's understandable.
Hey. And...
See, now you're dead to him again. See, now, here we go. The circle begins.
3 more months.
All right, 6 months, next episode.
It's like Groundhog Day.
We're never going to get to 100 episodes. More
winter.
I don't know. It does seem a little bit outlandish. You have never heard that song ever, even by mistake.
Wait, never heard the song or never heard Rush?
Never heard the song.
Well, maybe. Depends what song.
But it was I think it was Tom Sawyer. It's a pretty.
How do you not hear Tom Sawyer?
Exactly. Well, so I'm sort of agreeing with you, but I mean, she seemed like she never had heard this before. Well,
how old was this drummer? Was she really young?
She was like in her 30s. You know, she's not that old. I mean, possible. Not that young.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
You know, she,
maybe.
So, but I've seen a few of those episodes, and I don't know. It just seems like. You can't lie about that. I mean, that would be oh my God, it'd be a big scandal if you had these people coming on and they, hey, you know, I was in a Rush cover band. I know all the Rush songs.
Yeah, I never heard this song before. Yeah. And then they show a video of you playing it.
Yes, and I don't think that's happened. So they must be fairly legit. I mean, they don't have that many.
It's conceivable because, like,
yeah,
there's plenty of these pop stars that we know their names, but I've never ever listened to them.
Look, if you're,
I don't play the radio. I never had the radio on.
What's after millennials? If you're after a millennial, you're not going to hear something from the 70s or, you know, 60s or something, right? So
although you I remember, you know, you and my youngest talking about bands and he's like, "Oh yeah, true. I know that." And I'm like, "Who is this kid?" Yeah. Like, how do you know?
It is odd, I think.
My kid, definitely. He's odd,
That
in a good way.
A drum focused show with professional drummers who this is their world, they would not know. I don't even want to say pop. They would not know some of the things that they allegedly don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird. You know, if you had a jazz drummer who didn't know
maybe a
rock song,
right,
or a rock drummer who didn't know a jazz thing, that seems more legitimate. But I don't know. I think it's entertaining. It's kind of fun.
I'm not saying it's not fun. They're well-produced shows, but just saying.
They do some really interesting. There's an episode with Phil Collins.
Okay.
And Phil Collins.
Did he feel it coming in the air tonight?
Well, don't make jokes of Phil Collins. He's got some major health issues. He's like,
he can't play the drums anymore, right?
He could barely sit or stand.
Really?
But they interviewed him. Yeah. And his son interviewed him. His son's a drummer. And his son's been drumming with Genesis for a while, I guess. And they rebuild from the ground up Phil Collins' drum set. And it's pretty cool. And they, as they're doing this interview, his son is rebuilding this drum set. From the floor up. It's pretty cool. I think his son might work for Drumeo. I think he does a bunch of stuff for him. So he's lives here in LA, I think. Yeah, Drumeo's they're up like on the West Coast. I think they're like in Santa Barbara. So
who's Phil Collins?
Who is Phil Collins? that's my dad. Never. It's
New Man Smithers.
Oh, that's funny. All right, boys. This has been good. We went through, got caught up on TV. We talked about our Impex collection, the newest, the fifth edition. Was it fifth edition of
our loser basketball teams with that loser LeBron and that other loser Joel Embiid?
That's right.
Losers.
Hey, they're doing their best. Come on.
Losers.
I love that stat. I'm going to talk basketball for a second about Joel Embiid. Only MVP never to have played in a conference final. That's amazing. That is amazing to me.
And that will continue for a long time.
That will continue. Yes, that will continue.
Yeah, and what was actually good was what I ran the numbers. So I think lifetime earnings through May, $231 million or something like that. He's played in 490 regular season games throughout his career.
So he gets like $500,000 a game?
He gets about $600,000, $700,000 per game.
That's nice.
Per game that he plays. And he's still, crazy.
And the Phillies won 3-1.
There you go.
Yay.
Interesting.
Yay. Thank you to our friends, Sam Filmus, Chris Uy, and the gang at Impex for these delightful samples. The fifth edition of the Impex collection that is now in stores. Filey Bay 6-year-old, Tienik 11-year-old, and the Ardmore peated 14-year-old. All delicious. Get out to the stores and get them while they last, because they are all single barrel things, so they're not.
It is a trifecta of deliciousness.
It is a trifecta of
winner, winner, winner chicken dinner.
I think it's something for everybody.
It's very, very good. Something for everybody. Any last thoughts, gents, before we
put now, there's three other expressions in this. Is that what you said? There's six?
There's more than that.
11, right? So, okay, 11.
There was a,
if you find the collection, try them all out. The three we had were great.
So you could have expressions. You could have the tea and innick as your appetizer. Yeah. You could have your Ardmore with like a nice charred steak.
Oh yeah.
And then you could have your Filey Bay with or as dessert.
Yeah, dessert. Excellent idea.
With a nice tartlet.
There is
and dessert too.
How about a panna cotta?
Can I have panna cotta? You can. There are two world single malts, and there is one 18-year-old Jamaican rum in this group of the fifth edition.
Jamaican me crazy, man. Jamaican me crazy.
What I'm kind of curious about that Jamaican rum. What is the deal? What do
you think
it is?
You think it's a long
pond? Boy, Angela, how did you know that?
I took
the Impex Collection 2005 18-year-old long pond rum cask.
Oh, that could be beastie.
A vibrant burst like of red delicious apple, white raisins greet you alongside big funky oak, red licorice emerges, adding a rich, sweet, spicy complexity. Cedar, fennel, earthy, herbal, orange peel, zesty, nuances of clay and pine and rustic natural
quality. All right, quality. So this is our appeal if the Impex folks listen.
We want to taste that rum.
We want to try that rum, bro.
It might
sounds like that rum brings the noise and the funk.
Oh yeah,
it does.
Oh,
yeah. It might kill.
But you know, I've never heard it before. I've never heard the noise. I've never heard the funk.
No, never.
Never heard it before. Never had it. Never have. Never had it. Never will.
You live in a cave.
Exactly. I live under a rock. I live in a basement. I actually do live in a cave.
I live under a bridge.
It's a cement block cave, but it's still a cave.
It's a bunker.
And the petroglyphs on the wall are really pretty. Very artistic. Yes.
Yes.
With your big crayon and your stick and your little fire. Fire.
I'm just counting the days and then crossing them off.
There you go.
That's not a cave. That's a cell.
It's a cell.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. Potato.
Can I have my gruel, sir? More gruel, please. Please and soap. Please.
I'm on bread and water, man. I'm on bread and water.
The one commercial where he says, "Do you have any ribeyes?" Thank you for the gruel, sir.
Thank you for the gruel, sir. All right. What we watch when we drink. This will be out on a podcast, downloadable. Soon.
Very, very soon. Next week.
Very, very
shortly.
Soon. Very, very, very soon. You can still be able to use some sort of non-AI thing to listen to it. So coming soon to your earwaves. Gents, always a pleasure. Cheers.
If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.